Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So great, ladies and gentlemen. So you know, as told by Nomads, I like to bring disruptors, people that are doing innovative things to your ears. And today's episode is no different. I met these two guys because, you know, I've grown to be friends with the founder of the company. And when I saw what they were doing at their gaming company, and I saw how it was creating opportunities for people in the gaming industries and gaming developers, I knew that they had to be on the show. So in this episode, we dive into how they're democratizing the industry, we dive into the entrepreneurship journey, and we dive into ways that they found funding. So if you're an entrepreneur looking to grow your idea into something disruptive, definitely check out this episode. If you know someone in the gaming industry looking to create games and solve problems today, this is definitely the episode for you. Hope you enjoy it. And as always, send me a message after you listen to the episode.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's guests are people that I know. Yes, I might have lived in one of them. I'm talking to the founder and co-founder of Wonder, which is an amazing gaming platform. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us here, Tayo. I appreciate it.
Pleasure is mine. Pleasure is mine. And before we get into what the amazing platform that is Wonder, I would love both of you to sort of give us an introduction. And, you know, give us some insight into who you are. How did you end up falling into the world of entrepreneurship? What led you down this path? And then after both of you talk, maybe how you both met.
Sure. So to make a long story, medium short, from Miami, started doing marketing and distribution with my family. They had an import and export business. Then I got into TV. Luckily, was doing marketing and I had the opportunity to produce and kind of understood what storytelling was and putting it in that format and moved to New York and got into media. And that's really when everything really started. I met one of my partners, Josh, and we created a media portal called crimetv.com. And Josh says, hey, Boris, let's do a game. And that's basically when it started.
Wow. Okay. From Miami to New York, and now you're here. Mike, what about you?
Well, oddly enough, I lived in Miami too. But Boris and I didn't know each other there, which is interesting considering we're both in entertainment, right? So I had worked in journalism at People and In Touch Weekly. And, you know, in journalism... Part of like what I cover was pop culture items. So, right. You know, gaming was coming up. And then one day I had met Boris and I had also worked at Huffington Post. And want me to tell the story of how we met?
Yeah, sure.
We actually met on a popular tech site for startups called AngelList. And I had put my resume on there because I really, you know, technology is where it's at, you know, period. So I really wanted to get involved and I wanted to do something cool in technology. So one day I got a great email from this guy named Boris and he said he liked my resume and, you know, let's meet. Long story medium, at the time I was working with Huffington Post, and when I met Boris and I was talking to him and he was describing a bit of the platform and I hope I'm not jumping ahead here, of what his vision was, I knew to myself that this guy was absolutely going to go change the gaming industry much. He was going to democratize it much the way Huffington Post did. And so, you know, I was in. I remember leaving that day. We met at this great little place in West Village, and I had known that day that my life had changed. So I was pretty excited. I mean, I am excited, you know, even more so.
It's so interesting hearing both of you talk, because with you, Boris, I can hear that you've always been that entrepreneurial. Your family, you know, had this business. You moved cities to, you know, to pursue opportunities. You could see that. And you Michael, you're a creative at heart, right? It seems you have this, you know, you're in media, but you like the idea of telling stories and giving people power with, you know, creative outlets. And I guess that's what connected both of you. Is that what you feel like you connected on?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, you know, one of the key things is, you know, when I looked at Michael's profile, I knew that he didn't fit the typical gamer type. And, you know, he was somebody who understood pop culture. And at the end of the day, I just felt that he would know that if he saw something cool and if he liked it, then if he was sold, then, you know, I know I have something.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the approach. And I showed him some 3D objects, you know, floating in clouds. And that was the first iteration of our 3D stream. And I was so excited that day. And when he saw that, he understood, you know, 3D on the web. Okay, you know. And so since that point, you know, I knew that he could wrap his head around it. It was a big industry. And Michael has been with me now for about 8 months, and he is doing amazing. He's wrapped the industry in his mind. He understands what we're doing. He understands the distribution process and just the magic of it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, it definitely
has a good review.
Did that again?
That's a good review. I like it.
No, you know, it's the truth. It's how we work, you know? So, you know, I think where we are, we're really in a special place right now with happening with technology, just where the internet is. And I felt that, you know, as creatives, we really wanted to bring, you know, an amazing type of immersive type of experiences to users, right? And I love things that are like high production quality, but I like my quick fixes, right? So I know like immersive gaming, it was, you know, stuck with PlayStation, Xbox, and these are like cumbersome for me, you know, to really get into. But I said to myself, you know, what if I could take, you know, what I'm creating on this $3,000 MSI computer and give that to the world? And I said, now that would be amazing. Yeah. So my head started putting and connecting certain dots together. And here we are. We have Wonder, an amazing immersive 3D platform that gives this, you know, quality of gameplay within seconds is really amazing. So, you know, I think that not only are we helping ourselves getting our creative, you know, kind of ideas out there, but there are over 10 million developers creating an Unreal Engine in Unity. And these engines are like the gaming engines that create some of the best games in the world. But here you are, we have a pool of 10 million developers that could use our platform and just distribute freely to the world. That, to me, is amazing.
Yeah.
How do you follow that up, Mike?
No, I mean, you know, to me, that's like, you know, to follow it up, I mean, that it sums it up, because I think that, you know, I don't, people say this where it's played out, I definitely don't agree, but democratization, you know, is what it's about. You know, it's giving people the power to be creative in a different media. And there are a lot of people. In addition to the 10 million registered, you know, Unity and Unreal Engine developers, there's an entire market out there of people looking for the next best thing. And like I, you know, you can be an artist, you can be a writer, you can be whatever. And now, because of like assets that are out there, you can learn it and you can put together a game. And we provide like another canvas for creatives.
And Michael, you're absolutely right. And I think this is something that people really need to understand. So, you know, Unreal Engine and Unity, they have their marketplaces, meaning marketplaces where people have created assets, right? Such as animations, such as environments, 3D objects, right? So, you know, with a small group, with a lot of assets that are out there, right? So you can do some customizations. You know, you have your extras, right? You have your props, right? It just think about it as creating an interactive movie, right? So you have all this accessible to you, making it a lot cheaper and much more efficient to create a game and put it out there. So it's almost like, I'm not going to say exactly like Wix, but here you are, you have assets that you could bring together to bring an amazing immersive environment to people within a month. And you could have high production value. I mean, things that you actually see like in movies, I mean, you could create in Unreal and you could create in Unity. I mean, it like you could stream 4K. It's unbelievable. So, you know, as Michael was saying, not only game developers, but, you know, just creatives could, you know, now create games that are just not about getting points, but could have a whole other story and a whole other type of, you know, swirl of imagination to go.
Right, right. And at the core, you know, both of you, you've alluded to this, what it takes to sort of be a gaming developer is a rigorous process. Maybe it's more expensive than, you know, someone like me that might not be a gamer, for example. I didn't even know what it took to be a gamer. You're saying what you're doing is actually democratizing this. You're giving a lot of people access to what studios normally use, and you're giving them that access to do that on their phone.
Yes, yes. And you know, it's been happening for the past few years that even the, you know, democratization of actually creating games of assets and marketplaces. And when I looked at all of that, I said the only thing that was missing was a distribution point, right? To get that out there, right? So yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, you don't really need to know much about gaming if you understand how to put a story together, you understand how to brand, right? Our platform allows people to do distribution via a link, meaning you can take that link, put it into, you know, your text, send that text over to a friend, message it over on Skype, use your SMS. I mean, it goes anywhere that you could actually put an embed code and your game could actually live on any website there is, a blog, wherever. So now you have a distribution outlet like no other. And it's meant to scale. It's meant to grow. It is meant for everyone to use. That's what our platform is really created for. Nice. But mind you, you know, the amazing part is that, you know, this game, right, one particular game or any of these games in our platform could play on your mobile phone, could play on your PC, and could play on your smart TV. And within a second, you could use your phone as a virtual remote control. And it feels so natural. I mean, we use our phones every day. We text on it every day. We don't realize that you don't even need to look at your phone. And here you are controlling your PC and your smart TV. And I mean, it's really the best experience.
You know, this is what a lot of the listeners here, they're entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs. They're trying to do something to disrupt. Well, both of you have identified a problem and you're disrupting an industry that is a giant industry. Some people, the game industry is probably larger than the movie industry or maybe rivals it in terms of revenue. So what I want to peel back here to talk to you both about this is this core mindset, this concept. What I heard was you found a problem. You positioned yourself as the solution to that problem. And then you created a distribution platform to help empower people. Now, these are core concepts for any type of business, any entrepreneurship business in the digital age. What is the identifying the problem that you want to solve, you know, making sure you're giving people that will benefit from this problem access to take agency of something, and then just creating a community around that. I think that there's a lot of benefit that could be learned from what you said if both of you both of you even drill down the idea of what happened. Because take me back to the early days when you, Michael, and you, Boris, were talking, and you were looking at the market, and you were looking at the industry, and you were saying, like, there's so many people that are gamers. How are we going to compete? Where's our lane? Who is the person that we need to meet? Just take me back there, because I think a lot of people will benefit from understanding how to build a business.
You know, this is going to sound so cliche, but I'm going to say it. I looked within. Okay. I looked at what the problem was that I needed to solve for myself. And when I figured that out, I realized that I kind of unlocked the gates for everybody else. So that was really how it happened. I wanted to create amazing games and put them out to the world. And once I solved that, I solved a lot of people's problems, I believe.
So that's so key. And Michael, you as well. So you're saying identifying, because you love stories, Michael. So identifying the story in yourself that you feel like you need to tell or you need to solve within is often key to, you know, maybe even creating a community of people that have the same problem.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you talk about competitors, and this may sound crazy, but when I was looking at it, I know we feel like this, you know, as a company, like, we don't really look, we don't see them as competitors per se. I mean, nobody's actually doing what we do. So therefore, technically speaking, they're competitors. You know, I think that the challenge in the looking inside was, and like Boris said, you know, grasping your head around technology and cloud and, you know, industry, you know, you have to like go into yourself, because, you know, it's funny, Boris and I were talking yesterday, and admittedly, I've come a long way from the first time I met Boris, you know. You have to grasp all of that. And then I said, well, what's the narrative here? And what's the story we're telling? And the story we're telling is that games are easy to access now, and games are a new form of entertainment. And I don't know. So that's my narrative. My narrative is, how do I take something complicated and simplify it to the easiest way to comprehend what we do for not only industry stuff, but for consumers.
No, and this is good. This is good for me to even listen to hear and understand, because, you know, I'm also an entrepreneur, and some of the things that people always say, and I love what you've done. If you look at what Netflix did, or any of these people that disrupted an industry that had so-called giants, even though, you know, I guess when Netflix started, no one was doing what Netflix did. I mean, it was Blockbuster, but they didn't do it with the online platform that way. And I've always been fascinated by the type of mindset it takes to actually be bold enough to say, well, I'm going to be the guy or lady that does this. Because I have a lot of conversations with people, and they defeat themselves before they even get started. They're like, no way. Who's going to care?
Yes. Well, such a good leader about that. You got to talk about that. This is totally true. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I always think that to really do something and do something impactful, it has to be big and it has to cater to a lot of people, but it has to be exciting, right? So I looked at the most exciting thing that I think that I want to be a part of, and I'm a creator, and I said, you know, how can I create a blockbuster movie without having to spend $30 million and allow people to create, you know, creative stories that look amazing like that and easily do it and distribute it to the world? I mean, that to me is really exciting, dude. That picture itself. And, you know, I think that's really what it is, man. Just big vision. And my spirit just goes to that.
I love it. You see, this is already inspiring to hear. I always say you have to set a goal big enough that you grow into the person that can achieve that goal. And I don't think, you know, playing small is going to serve anyone in the world. And it sounds like both of you haven't done that, so that's good. Let's go on to the other aspect, the fun parts of entrepreneurship, or maybe not, depending on who you talk to. Raising money, right? So some people do, some people bootstrap, some people don't. Some people VC or angel investor. This idea, this courtship, this dating, figuring out who's the right investor, help me figure out what's the best way to navigate this sea of, that's the bright person. This is the age you need to be.
So I have to say, right, you know, one, I think it's important that, you know, people that are around you, believe it or not, will bring, you know, the first partners to you. And it's true, because it's always about relationships, right? And you know, my first partner came to me through a childhood friend that I knew from elementary school. And I was introduced to this gentleman by the name of Josh. And, you know, from that point on, you know, we started kicking it. And, you know, it's really about fusion and, you know, state of mind and making sure that, you know, your dreams and your business philosophies are in line with people. I think that's key, right? And once you figure that part out, kind of know what works for you, then, you know, when you cast your net out as you're going along, you kind of have this, you know, ad hoc algorithm of what works, right? And if you keep your mind clear, you know, you can keep that and keep on casting your net and keep on hooking the right fish, right? That's fundamental, right? So you know, I think, you know, with that, that was my first, you know, portion of it. Then the second portion was, okay, I have a good friend. He's invested. We've created product. We need to continue. How do I navigate? How do I find my next sum of money to continue this dream, right? So a lot of times we got to do what we got to do, right? So, you know, a year and a half ago, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, and I faced the fact that I had a son, separated, I'm doing a business, I need to make money, and I said, what do? I haven't done thumb and nails work in forever. I did TaskRabbit. Dude, I went on TaskRabbit, and I busted my butt. I did what I had to do, right? So you're asking me, how does that connect with money? I had to figure out a route to get me afloat and to continue the dream, right? Mm-hmm. So I went on TaskRabbit, and believe it or not, I was the best toilet bowl cleaner, the best organizer, the best mover that you had ever seen in New York. I hooked it up. So one day, I got hooked up on a job, and here I was, basically about to quit, moving 300 to 500 pound objects downstairs. I mean, I was being abused, I thought, but I said one thing to myself that day: start and don't finish. I mean, finish what you start. Bottom line is what I was trying to say. And I worked, it was an 18 hour day. At the end of that day, I was shocked because the person who hired me was the next investor in my company. And that, to me, I said, I was taken aback, and I said, wow, can you imagine that? Not knowing where that next fund is going to come from, and you're busting your butt, you don't give up, and you go to the end, and then you get a surprise. A guy out of nowhere all of a sudden starts talking about GPUs and AI, and that is the last thing you would expect upstate New York in some forest, right? So there you go. All I had to do was basically work, dude. And one road, I just realized, man, just like any road is like the yellow brick road. It takes you there. Just do the right thing and just know what you're kind of looking for, and it'll come to you as long as you do the right steps. So that was that. Now, Michael could jump in here and tell you about the next step, which is the VC run that we've been going at. And this is what we've been doing for the past 3 months. And this was Michael's introduction to the VC world. So we went from seed to angel to now doing a VC raise and doing another raise. And what are your thoughts on this part of it, Michael?
So it goes back, ties back to my journalism days when publicists would pitch me stories, and I, because you know, it's their job, right? So I would go through the stories, but I was most impressed by, and Tal, I think you know this because we've talked about it before, publicists had actually read what I've written and made a connection, right, mm-hmm. with it. And it wasn't blind, and it referenced stuff I've written, how it pertains to them. And it was always something that, you know, I said, wow, these people put the time in. Even if I'm not going to do the story, it doesn't this or whatever, I'm still going to write back, you know, and develop a relationship with them, because those are the kind of publicists you want to work with. Anyway, to tie back to this, we've done the same thing with pitching VCs. So what happens is we do research on, you know, the top 10 VCs in gaming, or, you know, the VCs you don't know about, what have you. So it's a research process, and we find those right VCs, and we go into Crunchbase. We find companies they, you know, invested in. We find quotes from them. I could share a really funny story. Boris, you know, the one with Ben?
And, you know, it's kind of funny because right before we did that outreach, it was during the holidays. Michael goes to me, hey, Boris, I mean, you know, we're going into Christmas and New Year's. Do you think we should do our outreach? And I said, you know, Michael, hell yeah. Because I know during my holidays, I'm looking at my phone, looking at new deals coming in, looking at what's happening. And I think these guys want to look at something interesting. So I said, let's do our outreach while everybody else is freaking sleeping.
Exactly. So let me just backtrack the outreach for 1 second. So that's what we do. So a letter has to be customized. Like, you can't just, like, send a VC, like, some, like, hey, this is our company. Like, it's boring. It doesn't show you've done anything. So we would write each single venture capitalist a customized intro saying, I know you invested in so-and-so, and you said this about gaming and that about gaming. Let me introduce you to Wonder. And those letters got responses. Right? I got to tell you something. Like, there's this VC named Ben Horowitz. He's really big. In fact, if you Google Ben Horowitz, he's number one. And it was right during Christmas. And Boris was right. Like, oh, screw it. Let's do this. So he loves Run DMC. He loves them. So the email subject said, what was it, Boris? Like, walk this way? It was a quote from what? He wrote us back.
This is the point. I think in all of this, I think we turned it into a game, right? So, you know, these guys, they gave us a wink, I guess you want to say. We're looking at kids, you know, and we're like, okay, cool. So, you know, we've been doing our outreach. A lot of people, you know, in the industry, some of the big VCs know of us. And they're like, wow, we like what you're doing. And no, but we're not giving you funds right now because they want to see. Like, they're like, hey, you know, here we are. We're talking, you know, a game. We're saying we're getting into, you know, an industry and we're going to disrupt, right? So, you know, as we're going here, you know, we're talking with these guys that normally do, you know, Series A's or B's, but, you know, we're early. So it's been interesting. And, you know, at this point, Michael, what do you feel from the outreach that we've been doing with VCs into other avenues of funding? What's your thinking so far?
Well, like I said, like, anybody's listening to this should know, if they want to be entrepreneur and raise funds, they got to be meticulous about who they reach out to, and just, there's no blank, you know, there's just no, you don't get a spreadsheet and just email everybody the same thing. So I just want to drive that point home, that know who you're talking to, right? You're always prepared for who you're talking to. A letter is no different.
Exactly. But one thing to keep in mind, though, no matter what, when you're fundraising, as you're, you know, doing your fundraising, you have to continue building your company, continue building your platform, continue to get yourself ready to get to market. You have to figure that out because you have a certain amount of money to work with, and you have to make sure that every penny is being used to get you into market. That is key. So no matter what the fundraising is definitely going to help. But I assure you that if you don't have that game plan to get to market, that I think will hurt. That's my thinking.
Of course. Yeah, right? Because these VCs, you can talk and you can write a really...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Fabulous letter. But at the end of the day, they want a product.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like the music industry, you know, like how it changed. But now they're looking for built-in audiences and seeing track records, which is understandable. So for us, this is perfect because, you know, our platform allows us to scale like that. You know, we've done a game in 2009 that was web-based. That was my first web game that we've ever done. It was Flash-based. It was called Wall Street Massacre, Murder Madoff. It was a spoof, you know, and I loved it. We created the site in 1 month, created the game in 1 month. It was played over 2.5 million times, 800,000 page views, man. And it was amazing to see how web gaming works. So with the infrastructure that we built with our platform, right, with these games, our first game that we're doing, Michael, should I disclose the name or should we give it the episodic name?
I don't know. This would be the first reveal.
Well, you
don't have you can keep the suspense, but I mean, so that people will be like, oh, I'm curious, but
okay. We won't give it away yet, but it is an amazing game. I'm already addicted to it myself, and not because I created it, because it makes me want to play. It's immersive. It's freaking awesome, dude. I love it.
It's crazy. Like, The game, like, that's the interest. This is what I really love about our brand, okay, is that it's led by people that, you know, that understand pop culture, that have played games in the 80s and 90s. And this game is, like, will be very familiar to people instantly because it's a mix between, like, a Donkey Kong and Pac-Man kind of vibe, right? So you get that kind of like 80s arcade realness with a 2018 technology spin.
Wow. Yes, and the realistic environments, the immersiveness. I mean, the thing is, people speak of immersiveness, but they don't realize it's when you're inside of a 360, you know, environment, and you're actually able to turn around and just see it as a whole. So a lot of people connect that with VR, right? But believe me, when you have that in your face and it's moving around quickly and you're moving fast through it, it's really an experience, man. I love it. I really, really do. It's a machine, man. It really is. It's basically, just think about it this way. It's like you are attached with a supercomputer in the sky, right? I mean, our platform, you know, powers this type of gaming. It powers AR. It powers VR on the web, right? But we're starting here with gaming first. And, you know, I think that power alone is really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, that's why I love talking to you too. I mean, if you look at what we've covered in today's interview, it's the story of how you're creating something that's disruptive, it's new, it's engaging, it's giving people the power, but it's not dumbing things down. It's like the same quality for, you know, democratized way. You talk about the process of, you know, Michael, you said you got to know what you're doing. Like, even if you're reaching out to someone, you really have to know your stuff. Understand the person you're reaching out to. How can they help you? You know, Boris, you talked about the importance of working hard and seeing that finish line always, even if you have to take a little detour. Because a lot of times people get discouraged when they don't, you know, the timeline doesn't work when they want it to work, right? You know, life happens and they're like, I guess I have to give up. But I think a lot of people quit right before they're about to experience some tremendous amount of success, and yours came in the form of, you know, someone that that client, you said you were working 16 hours or something, and all of a sudden this guy talks about AI, and that's the importance of what happens in today's world. And I think it's an interesting juxtaposition that comes to play here, where we currently live in the most globalized time, the most digitalized time. You're also creating something that can connect a lot of people from different cultures, and it's through digital media. Have you both thought about the power of what you could do when you bring all these gamers or game developers together and what impact that could have in terms of providing jobs, in terms of giving people an escape, in terms of just making sure people feel better about themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I got to tell you, like, One of the most exciting vibes I have about this is the joy that we have of bringing people together that would not have had this opportunity, you know, being able to watch people not only create something that they love, and that energy is like palpable, right? And watching people enjoy playing something we created. Like, there's nothing better than seeing a smile on somebody's face because of something that you put out there.
Yeah, I have to second that. That's incredible. I don't know. I get excited when I hear entrepreneurs like you talk about these things. All right, so before we sort of wrap up with other things, what are things that we can look forward to? How can people like engage with you? What are you most excited about?
Yeah, so if people want to engage with us right now, they could go to wonder.com and go to our contact page, leave us a note, and we're always getting in touch. We are, you know, getting our social media in play right now. We've been in the lab for the past few months, and we're just busting out our voice. And I have to say, this is actually our first interview like this, so we'd like to thank you so much. Giving us the card blanche here to speak our minds of what we're doing. I really appreciate that.
Of course, man. I love what you're doing. Like, yeah, the mission statement of this podcast is use your difference to make a difference. That's the foundation of anything I do, right? So you both are doing something unique. It's different, you know, and you know, it might sound simple when you're saying it, but then, you know, no one really thought of it before, so, or did anything on it. So I love the fact. Yeah. I mean, and I think that story is inspiring. But speaking of that mission statement, that's what I always ask my guests towards the end of the interview, how they use the differences to make a difference. So I'm going to give you two an opportunity to talk about how you individually use your difference to make a difference.
Yes. Wow. So. In short, I'm the black sheep, but I needed to learn quickly. So I had to basically train myself to really get the best from people that were around me. And the key is this: you have to level up as quickly as possible, learn as quickly as possible to figure it out, to get to the next step, because that's what it ultimately is, right? Leveling up and building product and doing what you love. And I think that if you go with a clear mind and the right people, I mean, this is for real. You need the right people around you on a day-to-day basis to make the right decisions to move forward. Get the E out and just go. There's no need for the ego. Everybody's here to help, and that's how we all win. That's the only way. You cannot do this on your own. Forget about it. If you think you're going to do this on your own, dude, step aside, because it doesn't happen. There's a lot of people along the way. You help them, they help you. It's just part of it, dude. So, you know, get a story that you love, get a story that other people love, sync with other people, and that's the way that it's going to work.
You. Wow. Nice. What about you, Michael?
Let me see. I think that, of course, we're our team, and one of the key things that I've learned on this journey so far is that, you know, we all have such dynamic strengths, right? And it's really encouraging, exciting, because I have grown a lot. And weaknesses I've had, I've been able to move up the ladder and be a stronger person. And, you know, walking to an industry I know very little about 9 months and be able to really turn out some good work. So I use that as an example to some new people and just people in life that, like, I have another friend, she's starting an app. And, you know, I said to her, like, you can do this. Like, you can do this. You just have to do it, right?
And do it right.
And do it right. And you will learn it. And if you have to, you know, lock yourself in a room for a month, learn it. And then you'll know it, you know? So I just think that's really important to spend the time empowering yourself with knowledge and confidence.
I love it.
Yes. And anybody can do anything. You could wrap your head around anything and truly understand the mechanics of it and truly understand how to position yourself with any object, with any business model, with anything that you want. I mean, that is serious. So me and Michael and our team, we're taking on gaming because we love it. We love doing it. And we know a lot of people love doing it. And that's what we're doing right now, man. And it's amazing. So I would love for everybody to join us. And I want to thank Michael. Michael has been my boy. He is amazing. And I want to say thank you for being with me. And Teo, thank you so much for having us today. This is truly amazing, man. Thank you.
Hey, pleasure is mine. I mean, I'm merely the vehicle, the guide, but this is all you. And I'm glad that the world has to hear your stories, both of you. You're not just saying this cliche things. You've lived out, you know, the lives that you've talked about. You know, you've gone through the grind. You've done it across several industries, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to peel motivational lessons from this. So thank you both for blessing us with your knowledge.
Awesome. Wow. Thank you.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Teo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.teoroxon.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.